Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house this morning as we're privileged to be here and worship this morning with each other. We'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors to sign. If this is your first visit to Berry Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church. Following our service this morning, we'll be back there shaking some hands. If you drop by and let us know this is your first visit, we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. There will be a brief board meeting here in the sanctuary immediately after our service, about 12 or 10 after 12, give or take. The vote will be on an adjustment in a retirement fund for Pastor Dennis within the confines of his present compensation package. We do require a quorum for that vote, which would require at least 15 board members to be present. Then next Sunday, August 25th, there'll be a brief congregational meeting also here in the sanctuary. That'll be right after the first service. It'll begin about 9:30 here to vote on the revised bylaws for the congregation. The changes approved by the board concern the movement of our monthly board meetings to the fourth Sunday of each month, also a streamlining of several committees and some editorial changes to simplify our documentation. A quorum for that vote will require 25 members present. Again, that's next week. The revised copy of the bylaws were sent out by email. There's also paper copies available on a table back in the foyer. Don't forget, choir practice will resume on Wednesday, September 11th at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And also, please read through the information in your bulletin announcement pages to learn more about the shepherding teams, craft supply donations, and the upcoming Disciple Women's Fall Retreat. I've been informed that the deadline for registration for the Disciple Women's Fall Retreat is, I believe it's Monday the 26th. Is that right, Ardith? Okay. So keep that in mind on your calendars. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right.
Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. Teach us your ways, O Lord. Teach us to live according to your truth, for you are our God who saves us. We always trust in you. Let us sing hymn number 572, stanzas 1 and 4. Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing God's blessing to seek. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above.
Thank you, Paige Jones, for being our acolyte this morning. We would bow in a word of prayer. O Lord, we present ourselves to you as we enter this place of worship today. We come from many different backgrounds and upbringings, and from different cultures and with different accents and skin colors. We may hold different political beliefs, and we may even differ in our ways of worship. But we have this in common. We believe that you, O God, are the one true God, and that we can come to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who you sent to us as a teacher and a guide and a lifelong companion as we seek the eternal kingdom of heaven. Gracious God, we welcome the living presence of Jesus Christ as we begin our worship together here at Berry Christian Church. It is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning.
Good morning, Jim. Okay.
Please be seated. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning, guys. Kind of bare up here today. We usually have a whole stage full of kids. That's okay. What do we got here? A phone. Ooh, yeah, mine. These things still amaze me. Of course, I'm like most of you. I grew up in the era of phones that were connected to the wall or sat on the counter, and you could only go as far as the cord let you go. That was it. There was no cordless. There was no, yeah. And then there's these. My grandson recently got one because this year he actually has to spend about an hour in the morning by himself, get himself to the bus on time. And so his mom got him an inexpensive phone, which now is this far from his face constantly. And so it's like, Jace, this is for making and receiving calls. And he's like, no, that's a telephone. This is a cell phone. It's for texting my friends and playing games with. Okay. I have been informed. Anyway, what happens to this if I forget to plug it in? It dies. Yep, this little red light up here starts blinking at me and it starts fading away, and pretty soon, it's black. There's nothing. You can't turn it on. You can't do anything. Well, When I was reading in the Gospels this week, and my phone was sitting here blinking at me, I kind of thought, you know, this reminded me of how I need to plug in sometimes. And then I thought about how even Jesus had to plug in. There's lots of stories in the gospel, times when Jesus went off by himself to be with God. Just him and God. He wanted to pray. He wanted to be with God. And we need to do that sometimes. We need to take time out of the busy, busy, hurry, hurry, rush, rush. Got things to do, places to go, people to see. And we need to just spend a little bit of time with God. We need to plug in. Charge us back up. Get us our spiritual side going. Give us some energy again. Because if we don't, I know if I miss a Sunday, boy, I kind of drag through the whole week. I'm like this phone. I just start losing power, and by the next Sunday, I need this. I need to connect with God. And we all need to have some time to plug in. So even in our busy, busy world, our busy, busy days, maybe those last couple of minutes just before we go to sleep at night, when we're laying there and our head's on the pillow but we're not quite asleep, maybe that's a good time to spend a minute or two. That's right. Spend a minute or two with God. Thank him for the day. Ask him to be with us as we sleep and to guide us the next day. Can we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for always being there for us. Thank you for recharging our spirits every day as we speak with you and read from your word. Help us to learn as we go, and help us to guide and share. Help us to always be ready to come to you in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we're privileged to go to God in prayer with the start of this new week, we want to celebrate with Doris O'Neill as she was able to be back with us in worship at the 8:30 service. Also at the 8:30 service, Russell wants us to remember his mother, Dolores Stewart, who is being admitted at Providence Hospital on the Kansas side of Kansas City. Also, we lift up Carrie's family with the passing of her oldest brother, Daniel, in Eugene, Oregon this past week. And this week, I will be gone Monday through Wednesday as I will be traveling back to my former congregation in Albany, Texas. In Albany, one of the elders, and probably he was the closest friend I had when I lived in Albany, his name was Jim Stewart. And Jim lived across from the church, catty corner from the church building. Jim ended up dying of a massive heart attack on early Wednesday morning of this past week. And Jim's longtime partner in business, Randy Bacon, as well as his sister and Jim's sister and brother, have asked me to come down and conduct the service for Jim. So we feel a deep sense of loss with Jim's passing, but my gosh, what's it like to be, up in the morning, getting ready for work, going about your normal early morning routine, and all of a sudden, boom, the next moment you're seeing the eyes of Jesus. Now that's got to, there's got to be a blessing in that, and so we praise God for Jim's passing into the Lord's presence. Also, we lift up LaVon Weaver as she's been moved to the memory care section of Benton House. We also remember Bob Maddox and Juanita Felt's brother, Larry Ford. We want to remember Rayana Ralston, the daughter of Ruth Ann Solomon. And certainly there's been a number of other people that we've been lifting up in prayer every day. And so may we be in the spirit of prayer as we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we always offer our praise and thanksgiving for the privilege to worship you on the Lord's Day. It is always our fervent prayer that the meditations of our hearts may honor your name and our actions may be a reflection of your great love for us. Realizing that most all of our children and youth are now back in classes, we pray for your blessing upon each pupil as they strive to learn the life skills that may benefit them for years to come. We pray for our teachers, the support staff, and administrators as they offer give the very best of their endeavors for the achievement of each child. As people who strive to adhere to the principles of the Christian faith, we also know that our Judeo-Christian heritage is derived from being people of the Word. But as people of the Word, it is so very important that every generation learn to read and write, communicate, and to reason, not only with one another, but also in our attempts to understand you. And as Psalm 19 reminds us that your word is a lamp unto our feet and is a light unto our path, we know that that comprehension only comes through good skills. And we're also reminded in Hebrews chapter 4 that your word is alive and active and judges the desires and thoughts of every person's heart. So as our children, and indeed all of us, continue to learn and uphold Christian values and principles, we pray that our lives will be a living example through which others may experience your great love. Guide our children and our teachers as they journey forward in the new school year, and guide us as we also offer this prayer in the name of Christ, as he teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Carrie, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Our scripture reading is Luke 1, 30 through 38. On Pew Bible, in your Pew Bibles, from 9:33 and 9:34. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Thank you.
I stand before you now, the greatness of your renown. I have heard of the majesty and wonder of you, King of heaven, in humility I bow as your love and wave after wave crashes over me, crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in. I have heard you calling my name. I have heard the song of love that you sing. And so I will let you draw me out beyond the shore into your grace. Into your grace as your love in wave after wave crashes over me, crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in. You make me brave, you make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore into the waves. You make me brave, you make me brave. No fear can hinder now the love that made a way. You make me brave, you make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore into the waves. You make me brave, you make me brave. No fear can hinder now the promises you made. You make me brave, you make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore into the waves. You make me brave, you make me brave. No fear can hinder now the love that made a way. As your love in wave after wave crashes over me, crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way. As your love in wave after wave crashes over me, crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in.
Thank you.
Many of the hymns we sing and worship were created by people of faith who lived a long time ago and lived in places often quite a distance from anything that we're familiar with. Yet would it surprise you if I told you that the hymn we are singing for our communion hymn this morning was actually created nearby? Back in 1903, Cleland McAfee was the pastor and choir director of the Campus Presbyterian Church at Park College in Parkville, Missouri. And I think probably most of you know where that is. The family in town were in grief as Cleland's two young nieces were quarantined in their family home as both children were stricken with diphtheria. Cleland wondered what he could create in word and in song that might offer a message of comfort to his brother's family and indeed maybe even to the community. He introduced the song that he created to his church's choir at their regular, get this, Saturday night choir rehearsal. How about that? Do y'all want to come here on Saturday night? I see some shaking heads. No Saturday choir. Where's Andrew? No Saturday choir practice? He's not saying anything. But anyway, it was Saturday night when they practiced over there in Parkville. And after they finished the practice and had learned that new hymn, they all went over and stood outside the quarantined home of Cleland's brother, Howard McAfee, and sang the hymn so that in such a way that the children inside could hear the song and everyone else in the family who was also quarantined would also be able to hear it. As the third verse and refrain state, there is a place of full release near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before you near to the heart of God. That next Sunday morning, even as the congregation prayed for the girls whose bodies later succumbed to the illness, the song written to offer comfort was used in their worship service for the time of communion as we use it today. And so we sing our communion hymn number 581, stanzas 1 and 3 of Near to the Heart of God.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before you near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before you near to the heart of God.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me." And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Doug leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, our Father, we gather in your house and around this table this morning with thankful hearts. We come to partake of this meal, and as we partake of these emblems, may we be reminded of Jesus' death and resurrection for our eternal life. In this we pray, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. The 11th chapter of Proverbs, the 24th and 25th verses state, "One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly and comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." With these thoughts in mind, Gail offers us a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings.
Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this day that we have come together to worship you. At this moment, our hearts are filled with joy because we are allowed to give back a portion of what you so generously have blessed us with. Please bless these gifts to further your kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. As we continue our journey of 12 extraordinary women from Scripture, it is today that we make the transition from the Old to the New Testament. And of course, speaking of any women of the New Testament, who would come to mind most succinctly? It certainly must be Mary, the mother of Jesus. And as we look at Luke's account of the angel Gabriel announcing to Mary that she is to become the mother of our Lord Jesus, we feel that we know quite a bit about Mary's gracious servant character. But as we explore Mary's life a little bit further into Scripture, what we understand is not only is she a most gracious servant and a loving mother, but she truly becomes a disciple of Christ. May we pray. Holy and gracious God, we are indeed grateful for the privilege to be in your house to learn more of Mary's character. For in doing so, we know we can strive to emulate her example. Guide us in that task this day and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Mary's servant nature is likely a consequence of her Jewish upbringing. But I think it's much deeper than that, that deep within her conscious being and in her heart, she had a servant nature about her. And it is revealed most succinctly in the verse of Luke chapter 1, verse 38, where her response to the angel of Gabriel, after Gabriel had explained everything that was going to happen to her, she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said." As we think of that great servant spirit that she obviously possessed, we understand also that Mary was certainly a dear, loving mother, and other texts in the scriptures of the New Testament help to reveal this to us. That great love is revealed, first of all, in Luke chapter 2. You know how the story goes. Jesus stays behind in Jerusalem while Mary and Joseph and that cadre of other neighbors and relatives from Nazareth are making their way from the celebration in Jerusalem, going back to their hometown of Nazareth. As I've described this to you before, it would have been a throng of people who knew one another, and they would have watched after each other's kids, etc. You know how that goes in small towns. And so as they would have made the journey on the road outside of Jerusalem, we knew that the men often would go ahead, and then the women would follow, and eventually, once the men stopped and kind of set up camp for the night, the women's group would kind of catch up with them. And, of course, it appeared that Joseph must have thought that, well, Jesus being 12, he's kind of in that middle range. He's not quite with the men all the time, sometimes still with the women. So Joseph must have thought, well, Jesus is with Mary. Mary thinking, oh, well, Jesus at the age of 12, sometimes he's with the men, sometimes he's with the women. He must be with Joseph. And when they finally all gathered together, where's Jesus? Oh, I thought he was with you. No, I thought he was with you. And he was with neither. And don't you know their hearts sank at that moment? They run back. You know, they already made a full day's journey outward. Now they had to go make a day's journey backward the next day. And, of course, it's in the third day, the text tells us that finally they catch up with Jesus. You would think that Mary would be really angry and say, "What do you mean, causing us all this grief?" Can you imagine as a parent yourself doing that? Yeah, that would have been me. But that's not the way Mary is. Mary is much more gracious. She does express her worry. But how does Jesus respond to his earthly mother? He says, "Well, didn't you know that I really needed to be about spiritual things? Wouldn't there have only been one place," Jesus was saying, "for you to look for me? And wouldn't it have been the temple? You know, after all, you know who I am." It's interesting to note that Mary seems to begin to comprehend the real depth of Jesus' spirituality here. But at the same time, in her loving nature, we never see a critical or demeaning a response to Jesus, do we? It just wasn't a part of the core of her being, was it? The next time we see Mary and Jesus is at that first miracle in Cana, a small town not far away from Nazareth. We know that Mary had been assigned a part in the reception. We don't know what her role was, but it must have been significant enough, because she happened to notice, as the story goes, that the host family wasn't just running out of wine, they ran out of wine. Nothing left. Now, don't you know, this would have been an incredibly embarrassing circumstance for the host family. You don't go to potluck and run out of food, do you? That's a shameful thing. That's just not supposed to happen. And you're certainly not supposed to go to a wedding reception and run out of food. This would have been the talk of not only that one town, but the entire region of small towns, if word had gotten out that this family had run out of resources for the reception. But notice, even though Mary is very much aware of her son's powerful abilities, she doesn't make a demand on Jesus. She simply just states the obvious fact, says to Jesus, they're out of wine. And Jesus, of course, what does he do? He goes back to that spiritual side of things. He says, you must not tell me what to do. My time has not yet come. But notice, Mary doesn't start an argument with her son like many of us probably would have done, does she? No, Mary, she knows her place. Loving mother, but yet she knows this son is truly of God. And so she simply says to the servant, do whatever he says. And of course, Jesus does turn the holy water used for ritual cleaning into wine. And we note that the disciples recognize the power of Christ at this moment. But Jesus' mother, Mary, does not in any way try to influence Jesus' decision. In Mark chapter 3, then, our next occasion, Mary encounters Jesus in his adopted hometown of Capernaum on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. Word had come about that, again, large crowds were gathering around Jesus, so much so that Jesus and the disciples couldn't hardly even catch a meal. And there was also a lot of rumors going around that Jesus had apparently gone mad with all these crazy miracles he was performing and his teachings. Mary and the brothers, and likely the sisters as well, are really quite concerned for Jesus' welfare. So they go from Nazareth to Capernaum to check things out, see what they can do to help. They get there, and there's such a crowd that they can't even elbow their way through. So they just send a message through the crowd, kind of like you remember in school, passing paper notes, something like that. And, because you can't get out of your seat. Right? But you got to get your message across. And Jesus catches the message, but he says, well, who is my mother, my brother, my sisters? Again, he's still pointing to the spiritual side. What I find interesting is that at this point, I think if I'd been Mary, I would have just insisted, that's my child in there. I'm coming through. Make way. I want to see my child. Does Mary do that? No. It's a profound measure of humility that Mary possesses. She cares deeply for her son, but also knows where she is positioned in the whole dynamic of what's going on. The next time we see Mary in Scripture, she is at the foot of the cross, John chapter 19, verse 25, standing close to Jesus, where his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene, and probably quite likely a number of other women, in profound grief. John MacArthur, the author of the book we've been using in this study of the 12 extraordinary women, says about this event, the pain of Mary's anguish is almost unimaginable, yet she stood stoically, silently, when lesser women would have fled in horror, shrieked, and thrashed around in panic or simply collapsed in a heap from the overwhelming distress. Mary was clearly a woman of dignified grace and courage. There she simply stood. Don't you know she wanted to do something? As any of us as parents would want to do anything we could possibly do to save our children from suffering. Yet she just can only stand there. And she knows the course of action must take place. And indeed, she endures. But the last time we see Mary is actually Acts chapter 1, verse 14. This is just before the Pentecost experience. The text tells us that they gathered frequently to pray as a group together with the women and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. What is Mary doing with Jesus' other siblings and certainly with the disciples and a host of other people. She is worshiping God. And in addition to that, what we discover most of all is that Mary has become a disciple, a follower, not just of her son, but of the one whom she knows to be the Lord and Savior, not only of her, but of indeed the world. And so, in Mary, we experience a woman not to be venerated or to be held up on some high pedestal, but to understand she was a human being, as are we. But she is indeed a woman of extraordinary character. It's no wonder God chose this particular 14-year-old young woman. She was a woman who indeed was a gracious servant. And she was a loving mother. But in her humility, she also understood she was to be a follower of Christ. And that's the message that she communicates to you and to me as well. You know, we get caught up in status. We get caught up in our own self-importance. And in the truth of the matter, none of it means a thing in reality. The only real big question that counts the most is, do we call ourselves among those willing to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Have we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior with great deep faith and humility? Have we become a disciple of Christ as was Mary? If you don't know Christ, I want to welcome you to come forward this morning and accept Christ in a way that I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day that you do need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 573. We're going to sing all stanzas of Pure in Heart. 573, please.
My wayward feet, guide me with counsel sweet, purer in heart, help me to be purer in heart, O God, help me to be. Teach me to do thy will most lovingly. Be thou my friend and guide, let me with thee abide. Pure in heart, help me to. God, help me to be, that I thy holy face one day may see. Keep me from secret sin, reign thou my soul within. Pure in heart, help me to be.
I'd like to ask you all.
all to please be seated, if you will. And we have the privilege for Jim to welcome Lori Horner and Michelle Clayton and Michelle's daughter, Paige, into the fellowship of our church.
It's always a joy to see a young person undergo that journey toward baptism. We have a triple joy this morning because Paige not only came forward to make her confession of faith, she brought a few guests with her. Her mom and her grandmother are all going to make their confessions of faith this morning. So the story of how they got here was kind of interesting. It was one of those snowy Sunday mornings back in January or February. There weren't that many people here in church, and our elders were looking for a child to light the candle. There were no children present besides Paige. And so on her first Sunday here, she was given a crash course in being an acolyte, and she did a wonderful job. I don't think they've missed many, if any, Sundays at all since that first time they were here. So we're so delighted to have them here with us this morning. And it's been my delight to be with this family in their home and do the Christian Beliefs class for these past several weeks, and we just had a great time being together and sharing God's love through Jesus Christ. So one by one, I'll start with you, Paige. We're going to share our confession of faith. Words spoken by Peter, the disciple. I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
Son of the living God.
Son of the living God.
And do you accept him as your Savior and Lord?
Yes.
Awesome. All right. And Mom, Michelle, repeat after me. I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
Son of the living God.
Son of the living God.
And you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior.
And Lori, repeat after me. I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
Son of the living God.
Son of the living God.
And you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. Awesome. So I think that when Paige made her confession of faith, the angels in heaven broke out in joy. And then when Mom made her confession of faith, they were giving a standing ovation. And then when Grandma made her confession of faith, they had a whole stadium full of angels doing the wave. Thank you all for your journey. Thank you for letting me a journey. We're going to schedule a baptism sometime in the month of September. We want to work it around your husband's schedule so he can be here. Larry works a double shift every Sunday, and he wants to be here when his family gets baptized. So we don't have a date at the moment, but at a future Sunday in September, we'll be scheduling a baptism for daughter, mom, and grandma.
Praise God.
And we'd be delighted for you to visit with us at the back of the church and shake some hands on the way out. Okay.
Now the truth of the matter is, Jim, you actually made it more difficult for them than I told them it was going to be, because when we were visiting in their home this past Friday, I was telling them that you would say the words and all they would have to do is say yes. But we praise God for all of you coming forward and making your confession of faith. May we stand and may we have our benediction. And also, please remember, we do have the board meeting just immediately after the service here in the sanctuary. Just right up here, come up front. It'll be a very, very quick meeting. So please stay. We need at least 15 of you to have a vote, okay? May we bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, we are indeed grateful as Lori, Michelle, and Paige have come forward, and we also celebrate Evan and Jovan's presence, Paige's brothers, as their family has indeed become more integrated into the fellowship of Berry Christian Church. We pray that as this family journeys forward, that they will truly experience the great love and joy of your presence through your Holy Spirit and through what we may have to offer as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, guide us as we journey forward in this new week, that we may indeed strive to have the humility of Mary and understand that we are indeed disciples of Christ. It's in his name that we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
My faith looks up to thee, Dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread. Be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day. Wipe sorrow's tears away. Nor let me ever stray from thee aside.